The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the sixth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure to even eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When Jesus and the disciples had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This morning, I'd like to riff on the theme of rest. The theme of rest. Beach reads, power naps, and free time. Last Sunday, before Zoom, I chatted with Larry Nichols. Larry, wave. I chatted with Larry about summer reading. Larry and I share a fondness for fantasy literature, and a month ago, Larry mentioned an author, Raymond Feist. So I checked him out. Feist tells a good tale in the tradition of J.R.R. Tolkien. Magicians, elves, goblins, trolls, dragons, inhabiting fantastical landscapes on which a battle must be waged about every fifth or sixth page. When Larry asked last Sunday what I thought of Raymond Feist, I said I liked him. Rollicking sagas, lots of action, magic, but like Tolkien, not many well-developed female characters. Still, pretty fine beach reading. Well, this morning I want to upgrade my assessment. Earlier in the week, I was 647 pages into the first volume in the Rift War trilogy, Krondor, The Betrayal. And at the same time, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, was open on my desk. It hit me. There is an important theme that runs through both books, the healing power of rest. Rest, deep, sustained rest, beyond the barest necessity of eating and catching a few winks before crossing swords with the next band of bad guys. The profound significance of rest jumped off page 647 in the following scene. Our heroes, a renowned magician named Pug, and his young protege, Owen, have arrived at a crucial point in their quest to find a way to save the kingdom, the planet, and the universe at large. Before them stands alien machinery, machinery that Pug and Owen must magically MacGyver in order to open a portal from one world to another. Their journey to this moment has been 647 pages of arduous travel through multiple kingdoms, planets, and timelines. So now, with the object of their quest within reach, the senior magician announces that before they attempt to activate the machine, they are going to stop, lie down, and get a good night's sleep. The third member of our band of heroes, a warrior chieftain of an antisocial tribe of elves, is incredulous. Sleep in the morning, tomorrow, he cries, tomorrow. Why not now? To which Pug replies, Owen and I will need as much rest as we can get before we attempt this. I know much about rifts and their nature, but that machine is of alien design. Therefore, I do not care to make a mistake because I'm tired. So, in the morning, after we sleep, we will try. Precisely because there is a great deal at stake, sleep first. Now, the emphasis on sleep in this scene triggered a cascading review of all that I had read in that book to that point and caused me to revise my less than positive assessment over about how much time Feist spends, how much ink is poured into describing just about every time and place our heroes find food and a bed for the night before and after battles. What seemed like a lot of tedious attention to mundane bodily needs, I now realized these pointed toward a deeper universal magic, the power of rest to heal and recharge, no matter who you are. Precisely because there is a great deal at stake, nap first. In the first, second verse, actually, of today's gospel reading, what do we find? The gospel writer Mark lifting up the need for rest to the proteges of Jesus who have just returned from an intense inaugural tour of teaching, healing, and demon evictions. Jesus says, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Because the narrator clarifies, many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. No leisure even to eat. And notice this need for rest, for time and space to recharge, is by the sixth chapter in Mark a recurring theme. Mark chapter 1. Verse 35, after a heavy schedule of healing and demon eviction, Jesus rises early in the morning while it is still dark in order to go up to a high place and pray. In light of the workload in the third chapter of Mark, Jesus appoints a team of 12 to help. And in Mark 3:19, we read, then Jesus went home and the crowd came together so that they, Jesus and the disciples, could not even eat. No time to eat? Crazy, right? Well, no surprise then when Jesus' family gets word and goes out to restrain him, for people are saying that Jesus has gone out of his mind. So Mark chapter 4, verse 37. Is it any wonder that Jesus tries to steal some shut-eye in the back of the boat, storm or no storm? In today's gospel, the word I find most intriguing gets translated as leisure. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Well, in my ear, the word leisure signals something optional. Leisure is when I have extra time, free time, apart from the normal daily grind, like a day off, or a weekend, or a vacation. But here's the intriguing part. And for this discovery, I owe the work of Adela Yarbrough Collins in her commentary on Mark. The Greek behind that word, leisure, is oikairon, or more commonly translated, opportunity. Oikairon, actually. Oikairon, opportunity. And same version of the same word came up earlier in chapter 6 in a very different context. Remember last Sunday's gospel, the beheading of John the Baptist? The wife of King Herod, Herodias, had been looking for a way to silence John the Baptist because John kept pointing out that her marriage to the king, her husband's brother, was immoral according to law. So Queen Herodias looks for a way to kill John. And in chapter 6, verse 21, we read, an opportunity, an oikairou, presented itself when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet. The opportunity Herodias needs to arrange an execution. While Jesus and the disciples have zero free time, no opportunity, no leisure to eat, the king's wife has all the time she needs to secure an opportunity to take a life. Quick sidebar. While oikairou in its varied forms is found infrequently in any of the gospels, in both Luke and Matthew, we will read that in return for cash, Judas Iscariot's time is freed up to arrange an opportunity, oikairion, to betray Jesus. In the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, the proximity of two very different applications of opportunity invites us to ponder the meaning of free time. Who has it? And for what? On the one hand, Mark portrays the servants of the good news, according to Jesus, as having no leisure, no free time to eat and rest, as if eating and sleeping were optional. On the other hand, in the royal household, there is ample free time for Herodia to strategize the elimination of John the Baptist. Considering the strata of society from whence Jesus, the carpenter, and the disciples, many of whom were fishermen, come, compared with the royal house of Herod, this stark difference in discretionary time is hardly news. In fact, it's an old story. Except that Jesus, for whom Mark uses the messianic moniker, Son of Man, And Mark shows the heavens ripped apart at the baptism of Jesus so that God may declare, "This Jesus is my son, in whom I am well pleased. This Jesus who carves out time for personal recharging," as in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, when Jesus rises before dawn to go to a deserted place for prayer. This Jesus knows and values equally the disciples' need time and space for rest. "Come away," says Jesus, "to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Come away. Take a nap. Take a break with me and take a nap with me." In the arena of social justice speech, the opportunity inequities that get the most airtime are rights to housing, fairly compensated employment, health care, and education. But what about the right to rest? Especially in terms of employment, there is the danger that opportunity equity will translate into an equal opportunity to get ground down by work valued strictly in dollars per hour. What about freedom from the captivity of the grind? What about freedom for time, for a body and soul to heal? "Come away," says Jesus, "to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." You know, what Jesus knows is what God knows. What Jesus needs is very truly what God needs. And what Jesus needs and deserves is what every human deserves. Especially healers need rest for their own healing. Rest is powerful, very powerful, which explains the propagation of grind culture, in which time is money, and you are what you produce, and you are only as valuable as your bottom line. Work now, rest later, work yourself into an early grave, get to heaven all the quicker. In 2016, into this breach of equal opportunity napping came Tricia Hersey. Tricia Hersey was a graduate of Candler School of Theology at Emory University and got in touch with academic grind, earning her MDiv. And so, related to that, Tricia Hersey founds something called the Nap Ministry and names herself the Nap Bishop. You can find out more about Tricia Hersey and Nap Ministry by Googling, but Nap Ministry is more of an Instagram phenomenon, and I'd suggest it's a good reason to take that social media step if you haven't already. For Nap Ministry is not optional. Rest, according to Bishop Hersey, is resistance. Her main focus is the embodied exhaustion of the Black communities and communities of color within an economic system that continues to expand on slavery's commodification of Black humans as disposable and replaceable when they wear out. A system which in this country continues to benefit from a toxic theology characterized by God helps those who help themselves. A theology which has nothing to do with Jesus or any verse in scripture. To resist the effects of grind culture. It's not only a very good thing that we meet like this every Sabbath and we listen to Jesus, for therein we are called to rest, a call which is nothing less than revolutionary. We are called to be freedom fighters, freedom nappers, rising up for the freedom for all to lie down and take a nap and heal with Jesus. Come away, says Jesus, to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. May we practice what Jesus preaches here in our own lives, and may we so love our neighbors that our love becomes enacted justice that makes rest a right for all people, no exceptions. Amen.
Amen. May we take a nap and take a rest in and with Jesus. Hallelujah. We shall continue our service with the hymn of the day from the ACS 1017, Come to Me, O Weary Traveler.